Welcome back to Path to Glory, the Warhammer Underworlds podcast that focuses on competitive gaming, player development, and community growth. This episode was made possible by our patrons, so thank you to everyone who supports us. If you're interested in supporting the podcast monetarily, please check us out at patreon.com/pathtoglory. If that's not possible, we still appreciate the listens and the ratings. This is your host, Aman Khusro, and today I am joined by a good friend of the show, Nick. Nick, how's it going?
Hey, Aman. Doing all right, I guess. It's Christmas time in Italy, so busy of drinking, eating, stuff like that.
I feel that. Been doing a lot of that myself.
Yeah.
Some of you may be wondering where Jonathan is, and Jonathan's just busy with the holidays, so he was unable to make this episode, but we'll catch up with him on the next one. So today's episode, we'll be covering VC10, which was an online event that happened quite recently, and then we're just going to talk about the meta, and we've got some Patreon questions we're going to answer as well.
Mm-hmm.
But not much news when it comes to Underworlds.
Sadly.
Right? Yeah, I was hoping there'd be maybe an update to the far list or something.
Yeah, that feels like a lot will be needed. Well, when we'll discuss the tournament, I think something will pop up as needed.
Absolutely, yeah. And then maybe, you know, a sneak peek at like another warband, but they did nothing.
Yeah.
But, lots of cool stuff on Warhammer community, though, just not Underworlds related. Well, cool. So, Nick, you said, you know, it's Christmas time. Are you enjoying it? Have you a good time?
I'm not really the Christmas kind of guy. I'm not like the Grinch kind of guy. But
the Grinch.
Yeah, I enjoy small things like you don't work every day. You can see some friends that you don't usually see because they go back to visit their families. So you catch up and you drink and eat a lot. And sometimes you find some place to hobby, games, whatever. So it's fine, I guess.
Did you get a lot of gaming in?
I got... Not really. I played some Solasta, like, yesterday that I had some spare time. It's quite good. It's a 5e... D&D 5e edition of a roleplay strategy game, which is quite nice.
Oh, cool. Yeah. What is the scene like in Italy? I know that every time we catch up on Discord, you mentioned that you have played games or the scene is kind of revitalizing. Is that the case?
Yeah, I guess so. In Florence, we have a pretty big scene, to be honest. It never really buzzed out because we were pretty active even during the lockdowns. And, you know, it also depends on what your state will enforce as law of gatherings and stuff like that. But we're pretty active. We had like some 14, 12, 16 player events through the previous months. We managed to like get a couple of events per month, so mm-hmm. we're quite up to speed, and the community is lively. I know some other communities in Italy are pretty much revitalizing itself, and some, let's say, dead communities can go back to existing in rivals. I think this is something that it happens also in the US, from what I heard.
Yeah,
but I think there's two kind of formats like serve the two purposes, like right. Building a community or keeping one strong with championship.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good point. I feel like a lot of our friends, as some of the people I know, especially in the Northeast, are doing really well with rivals. I feel like when it comes to my local area, rivals is interesting, but you'll find like there's small pockets of people where it's like two or three people who play like at home or at each other's houses.
Mm-hmm.
I even know like some guys who like just go to coffee shops and play, which is awesome. But when trying to organize like a larger event, I have found that it's quite difficult. I also think it's because Houston is huge, right? Like to get from one side of Houston to the other can take you up to an hour and a half, 2 hours in some cases. So, it's really hard because a lot of people do live in the suburbs.
It feels like, I don't know if you were there when it happens, but first when Shadespire came out and wasn't really a scene, but the scene was basically starting, we have some sort of this like two, three peoples, four peoples gathering at home, playing once in a while with custom decks or just like a tweaked version of the decks or something like that. And then you have like the first tournaments with prize kits and you go around and you see, like, I know two players that figured out the game and dominating. And so you, maybe you stuck out. You say, okay, look, I want to learn to do that. And so you build, I think maybe we're there with just probably missing the prize kits.
That's a really good point. I think the prize kits were like a huge draw. You know, I have this conversation a lot with just like random TOs and like store owners. I'll just be like, Underworld is such a weird community. Like, because we have been ingrained with trophies and glass and prize support since the inception of the game, we have to have it. Otherwise, like sometimes, like, people will win like major tournaments without like an official shade glass trophy. And some people will just be like, yeah, but there was no shade glass. So it doesn't even count.
That's true.
And I'm like, dude, that person just won a 40-man tournament like in Italy or Germany. And they're like, yeah, but there was no shade glass. So it wasn't real. I'm like, who, what? There are entire communities in games who like run without any official prize support, you know?
Yeah, so it's all about it's the so glass. Funny.
Yeah, it's so funny. But you know, it's I hope that in the future, whether there's glass or not, or there's custom glass, right? It doesn't have to be Games Workshop glass, that we can kind of improve upon that moving forward.
So I'm a big fan of, like, it has to be glass of some sort. Like, I can show you one right now. It's on camera.
Oh, cool.
Oh, this is like a glass prize that was on a tournament, an Alliance event. Like, probably was the first awesome. Alliance event. Yeah, it's quite bulky. It's quite in the middle of it.
Yeah. What is that? Like some Russian architecture?
It's sort of like, yeah, some kind of Russian European castle.
That's kind of cool. Weird.
Yeah,
it's a cool trophy.
It's a pain to dust off, to be honest, because dust goes everywhere you can.
Oh, yeah.
Dust it off. So I'm not a big fan of that, but it's something. Also, a tip I can give that our stores here in Florence are helping out a lot. They gave us like discounts at the store. Like, if you win first prize, you get like $20 that you can spend in the store, or $20. Yeah. And they got basically the price that we pay in tickets to get some stuff. It's nothing really, but it helps a lot. Like, you can build something and you can, like, I don't know, buy some paints or give it to some friends and they can buy a warband, stuff like that. So I think it helps.
That's crazy. Yeah. I mean, we do that too here. We do prize support as well. You know, like, winner will get, like, so everyone, so it's interesting here, you'll have to pay to play in some cases.
Yeah, here.
Yeah, there. Same there. Okay, yeah. So you pay like $5, $10, whatever. And then all of the money you paid goes to gift cards to the winner and maybe best painted. And then in some cases to last place, because, you know, the wooden spoon or
whatever. Yeah,
cool. Well, I'm glad you're having fun. I haven't really been able to get very many games in locally. And I'm kind of tired of online play, so I'm just
online
waiting.
Play is slow right now. I think it's really, really slow. I was talking about it with Tommy, and it's like, back in the day, you can like have a game in half an hour, or a best of three in like an hour and a half. Yeah. Now you'll take, like, I think more than an hour to a single match. It's a lot.
Slow play. I hate it. I love playing people in general. Like, mad respect to anyone who wants to play a game any time. I love that. I hate slow play. It doesn't make sense to me. I always have felt like you have to finish the game in 30 minutes. And I have played online games where, like, I have played one match, like 12 activations in like an hour and 15 minutes. And it was insane. I was like, bro, what is going on? I get it. Sometimes, like, they're new people. So obviously that's fine. Like, I'm here to help. But, like, I'm talking like competitive games. And I'm just like, I can't. It's not for me anymore. I'm sorry.
I think it's something that is around. I don't know if you have managed to play some tournaments, but in the ones I have to, the slow players, like, are falling behind in best of three. Like, there are players that will always and all the time, like, don't have the time to finish the third game.
Yeah.
Or, like, go extra overtime, or, like, have to play only one round of it. Yeah. And it's always the same people. So, like, if they're slow, they're going to get behind, because right now game is quite complicated. Like, you have a lot of stuff to figure it out.
Yeah, I mean, I do think, like, the flipping and everything does add some time, but you know, with a smaller card pool, I think, like, sometimes decisions are more streamlined. And, like, the way the game functions right now, I feel like a lot of the decisions aren't necessarily as complicated as people might think. Like, you know, sure, like jump on a cover hex so that you can flip it later, or deny a score, or in most cases, just fight for the middle of the board, which, you know, I feel like happens quite a bit. So I don't know. Maybe it's the warbands I've been playing, which I'm just like, there's not much decisions to be made, but I can respect the nuance behind some other decks that it might be harder to play. I just think that no deck should ever take you more than 30 minutes.
Yeah. I also think maybe at the start of the season, especially, there are like the what's this stuff times that you have to play in the game. Like someone plays a card, you don't know it, so you read it.
Sure.
And you mumble out, oh, so you're doing this and this and this, so what can I do? And this takes time. Also, the two warbands, the two new warbands, especially the Cunning Crew, has some like sneaky stuff you can do to and require some attention. Like, oh, this guy gets support and this guy can move. So
yeah,
that takes time. I also think you can like speed up some process. Like if you have three guys on cover access at the end of the round, you can just say, I'm going to delve them. And if they don't have anything to say, then yeah, sure, do that. Or if they say, no, just delve one and then I'll play a card and you can take time. So.
Right. Yeah, I mean, and I definitely want to clarify that, like, I think that if you're not familiar with something or if you're learning, those games will take longer.
Yeah.
And that's not my issue. My issue is, like, when both players know the game and everything about it or are very familiar with the current meta and are just, like, taking their time with decisions. Because, like, anybody can make the perfect decision in this game given time. I think one of the best parts about this game for me has always been you have a limited amount of time to make the best decision because you have to get through, in theory, three games in 90 minutes. Which I feel like not everyone can make fast decisions quickly. I mean, even I make wrong decisions quickly, but you learn, right? So,
you know, chess is like a really different game based on what kind of chess you play. If you play bullet chess, you have like 1 minute to all your moves and you get 1 second for every move you make. That is a different game rather than regular chess when you have like 2 hours for a game or much more than that. And there's different rating and stuff like that. I know chess clock is something that is really pissing people off when you kind of bring it into the mix, but I think it would be interesting. Like I'd like to play a tournament with chess clock and see what changes. Like you have 35 minutes each for a best of three.
I would love a chess clock, actually. I think a lot of players, I think playing under pressure is the difference between like a good player and a great player.
Yeah.
And I would love to. And like making the right decisions under pressure. So anyways, that is a conversation for another time. I'm sure.
Yeah.
But I'm glad that you're getting games in and that you're having some fun. I am a little envious, but positively envious. When it comes to the meta, you know, we've actually have some questions from our patrons, which might actually be more natural to answer them as we go through the episode. But, you know, going into this event, you know, before we know the results, but going into the event, you know, if you had to have picked a warband, like what would you have played?
So I will have played the Stalkers. I'm playing them right now. I'm feeling quite positive. They're pretty good right now, so why not? Mm-hmm. I would also think that Sepulchre Guard and Gates are quite strong because of their Infestation, Claim the City card, guarantee 5 glories for probably one objective elder, something like that. I also heard that Wrathgarn is quite good. I have a friend of mine that's doing pretty great on Crushers. And not holding objective crushers, just straight up charging in your face and smash your face crusher. There are a lot of stuff that works right now. I don't think there's like a clear tier one warband. I think there are a lot of warbands that can do really, really good. Also, if I have to say one warband that feels like a bit overpowered and it's not like the best warband, it's probably the Cunning Crew.
Yeah, the Cunning Crew is a fun one. They are probably either them or Hrothgorn is what something I would have played going into this event. Because I think Cunning Crew is A, people still aren't used to them. So you can take advantage of people's inexperience. But also, like, they have some really, really cohesive play. Like, some of their upgrades, like the illusions, are really strong. Their inspire mechanic is trivial, and the movement tokens that Torka can drop are pretty great as well. So I'm a big fan of them, and you can actually, I've played games with Jonathan where like I'll wipe his warband, and then like one git left will just kill my entire warband.
Yeah,
because he's just unkillable.
Also, I think I didn't play them as much as like other people that do. Mm-hmm. The deck I built rather focuses on the three little guys because I think the two big ones don't need anything. Like they are bulky, they are quite defensive. They have range to shoot. So I just like drop two or three good weapons, some upgrades for the little ones, even Inspire Attack because they will get those upgrades with range one, and that goes mesh with them. And people like are threatened by like the guy that gives support to everyone or the leader. And then once they're spent their resources on those three fighters are stacked and they'll wipe you.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's a fun warband. I like them a lot. Val, he asked, what would your tier list be after 2 to 3 months? And I think that kind of answers that question.
Yeah,
probably. Right. I agree with you that those are probably the top, and then everything else kind of, fits in. I do think that there are a couple other warbands that I think most warbands are good. You know, I think bar like a handful, you can do well with a lot of them. But those are some of the warbands that stuck out to both of us. He asked another question, and this might be like, do we need an extra Inspire step at the beginning or the end phase? Or is the new Inspire rule turning out to be okay? What do you think, Nick?
I think we need one.
Yeah, me too.
To be perfectly clear, we decided to house rule that you have an inspiration step at the end of the round to give one to like vampires, fire slayer, if something is enjoying them, or those kinds of weapons. We didn't actually get one at the start of the round because probably it's just for spine fin and the soul raids. And those guys, like, they have 8 activations and they get 7, so it's not that usual loss. Instead, like, vampires don't score their objectives because some objectives of them require to be inspired. And if you don't inspire, then you need to wait. And basically, an end of the round, it becomes an end of second round, which is problematic for a four fighter warbands. So I don't think that is much needed at the end of the round, but yeah, I will claim that we need those pretty badly.
Yeah, I agree, especially for that warband as well. But like Wild Hunt and I think Farce Riders, I think like they're similar, right?
Yeah, Farce Riders too. So, they end the round.
Yeah, so cool. And some of the conversations we just had kind of tie into like Compaq and Valcom has, those are patron questions. But Compaq said, what warband would you have taken it? So that's what we did. We already answered that.
Yeah.
What did you expect to win? I mean, we know the result, so it might be a little biased, but personally, I thought Hrothgorn was going to win.
I thought the Cunning Crew was going to win.
Okay. Makes sense. Good.
But I'm not surprised that Stalkers won it.
You know, I just want to follow up on that because I feel like my experience online has been that they aren't good.
Stalkers.
And I always disagreed because I was like, I think it was a combination of like everyone thought objective is going to suck. And then like, I don't know, maybe they aren't very good in like a fight. But like, I was like, for me, it was like Claktrock is a monster.
Claktrock is amazing, man.
Yeah. And like they can still hold objectives. They just like can't score surge objectives, or maybe like Lords of Space and Time isn't as good as it used to be. But I mean, I still think they're really good.
So I think they have, in if we're making like a rankings of who has the easiest surges, I think the S rank going to the Cunning Crew because support is everywhere right now and they have plenty of surges. Second spot is for the Stalkers. Like, I don't think you take, like, the hold objective surges. If they're land, like, and maybe I wouldn't take them. But they have easy, really easy surges.
Yeah, like one of them is just flip a card or flip a token.
It's a flip of feature token. So you can flip a Glumax.
Yep.
And you can do it like with Delve. You can do it with your leader ability. Like I usually like place one like in the first stacks on my opponent territory, place my Kixitaka up front. And they say, okay, you go first. Then I'll flip that. It still remains a Glumax and a score of glory.
Yeah. That's great. Astromatrix alignment.
That should be restricted.
It should be restricted. I agree with you. It's such a good card. Cause like I was building a deck and I was like, Jonathan, like, I think this is really good. And he was like, lizards. I was like, yeah, dude, I think they're good. And he was like, yeah. And he's like, holy shit, this is actually like, this is solid. Like, I think this will work. I was like, yeah. And then like when I saw like lizards in the top four, you know, obviously I'm rooting for Compact cause he's a patron, but I was like also kind of excited cause like, I love this warband. And I'm really glad that I don't know. I mean, like, cause I was talking to, I think Mike about it and Mike was like, yeah, you know, I kind of saw like some negative comments on it, but at the same time, like, you know, Mike's not really paying too much attention. But I'm kind of glad that like, it was like some validation, like, nah, they're good. And they ended up winning, spoiler. So
I'll tell you some of the searches I use on them. So Astromatic Salizen is one. Instincting Tactics, play two reactions and Duel of Wits is everywhere. And like you have Dark Sacrifice, stuff like that. And there.
And Clacktrock.
Clacktrock.
And Skitter.
And yeah, there's plenty. Like you don't even need to mention them. Everything to Brew, still unrestricted, by the way.
Yeah, still unrestricted. Insane card, yeah.
Contest of Equals, everybody runs that.
Yeah. Please.
In Cold Blood, really easy for them.
In Cold Blood is very easy for them.
You don't need to be wounded if they're wounded to death, so no problem in that. Yeah. And yeah, I use Silver Lining, but you can use whatever. Like, their surges are really, really easy. And also, the Great Plan, it's basically around two now.
It really is. And you know, a lot of these cards that we like is really interesting aren't necessarily in the winning deck, which I thought was really interesting as well. Yeah. Because I think The Great Plan is insane.
The Great Plan is insane.
It's an insane card. And we'll talk more about that. So let's, for those of you who aren't necessarily paying attention to the online event, we're calling it VC10. We had Crushes, Gits, Creepers, the Cunning Crew, Harrows, Hrothgorn, Mad Mob, and Stalkers in the top eight. One thing you'll notice immediately off the bat, it's eight different warbands, which is really exciting. Yeah. I think that's awesome. Let's start with like the eighth place deck then. So, you know, we're talking about Crushes here. You said you have a buddy who's running Crushes.
Yeah.
Doing really well with them.
Really doing well.
What do you think about this warband? I feel like it's something that's a little similar, but not necessarily entirely designed around, you know, the classic Crushes play. This is more, I feel like the classic Crushes play, which is like hold objectives, kill people as you go up the
board.
Yeah,
and that surprised me because I saw them doing really well in what like orcs should supposed to do, like charging in your face, hitting R, and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So it's interesting to me that he went with two restricted cards. One was Gutted Boss. One was Berserk Fortitude. I can see Berserk Fortitude, why it can be a good pick. Gutted Boss, to me, it's, I don't know, it's not that interesting of a card right now. Like, it's a good search, don't get me wrong, but it's quite slow of a search.
Yeah. Like, I misspoke. This deck got fifth, not eighth. I get confused between the Cunning Crew and Mad Mob symbols, but this is the fifth place deck, yeah.
Yeah, fifth place. And so he also got now what, which is kind of slow for them right now, because you need also to move, but you also need to deal, so you score it at the end of the power phase.
Yeah.
And so you draw the next surge after that. I think will be like a tad lower than like Surge of Aggression, which is much more easier and
yeah,
it's under restricted law.
So the deck kind of confused me a little bit because like you do have like the Now What and the Gutted Boss and like the Silver Lining. So you're thinking like, oh, this is maybe like a slower deck. But then he has like Demolish the Opposition.
I don't like that card. I don't know why it's so popular.
Yeah.
And I don't want to take back to those players because they like did really well at the tournament. I wasn't there, so it's really easy for me to say something bad about it. But
right,
if I had to give my honest opinion, I don't like Demolish Deposition. I think it's really matchup dependent, and it's a card that's stacked in some cases. Like what you do if you face Sepulchre Guards.
Yeah. Well, then you that's true. You just hope you wipe everyone, I guess.
Yeah, so, but they're coming back like nothing.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it's definitely a matchup dependent card. I thought it was really interesting because like you have Got It Boss, you got Now What, etc. But then he has a lot of movement. Outrun Death, Membranous Wings, Eager Advance. Center of Attention in itself can be a movement card. So and then we've got some Silent Helm, Silent Ring. So I feel like this to me looks like a Dire Chasm Crushes deck. And then it was like, what can I rip and replace to make it work in Harrow Deep? And obviously it did really well. This person got fifth place. But I feel like I would have built this deck a little differently.
So if I have to give my like humble suggestion for someone that doesn't play the Warband, but just play against the Warband a lot, bring Berserker Rage.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That is a plus. Drop the whole objective Surges. Go heavy with like Surges for killing, getting primacy and stuff like that. I think if you want like a reduction, damage reduction card, you can get Auto Resilience here because you can give primacy and score stuff for it. And I kind of like the rest, but like, yeah, his power deck was like, I want to smash the other person face, and his objective is a bit greedy on one side and also like flipping a bit on objective side, which is something I don't like about. Like, your plan should be kill your opponent, go for it. Like, you have...
Absolutely.
You have Silver Lining, you have Wrenching Fate, you have Contest of Equals. Those are, like, easy surges that don't require, like, killing or something like that. So you have backup plans. Do the rest. Like, you... Or a Cunning, too. So be a bit more greedy on the killing side, and I think this deck would be a tad better.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think that would have been the way to go. But then again, maybe this person was like, you know, if I get a bad matchup, I can still kind of score my cards while kill my opponent. So I get that, trying to do the best of both worlds. But who knows? I mean, they got fifth, which is very impressive. 20-man event. So not one of the biggest online events we've seen, but one that was still, I think, enjoyable to watch. And I think it does paint a decent picture of the true meta.
Yeah, it does.
So aside from the top two decks, what is a deck that you want to look at that stands out to you?
We're doing the top two later. I think the Drapers deck was quite interesting to me because it wasn't exactly what I was expecting from Drapers deck to do right now.
Well, let's see what they've got. So, you know, Contest of Equals, Death Champion makes sense. Mass Blades makes sense. Ethereal Hunters makes sense. Savage Exemplar makes sense. I mean, I feel like the Surges, I'm not really shook by that. And then the end phase cards.
So Demolish Deposition is going to be there. I don't know why it's still there.
Yeah.
So,
I don't know why people are taking these cards.
I don't know. But also, another thing I didn't expect, this is like a straight aggro Trappers with Creepers deck. Like, I think right now, Drapers, it's kind of insane when he plays in his territory and does stuff. This deck wants to come in your territory and kill you. Like, all of the Surges, Demolish Deposition is there, and, like, a lot of stuff is like that. Also, I think one card is missing, and it's... I will take it, like, 11 times out of 10 with Drapers. Insanely territorial.
Oh yeah, that card is insane. Even Silent Step is missing, right? Which I think is interesting as well, because like you need that movement in enemy territory. And now, again, when I look at this deck, I think, you know, this could be a deck where, like, you take three objectives and then you kind of just, you can score your dominant position. You can score scant resources, maybe even a cheeky path to victory. And then you have the glory lead in theory. And then your opponent comes to you and then you murder them. So I can still see, like, the traditional, the way I like to play them at least, which was like, come to me. But this, I like this deck in that it can flip and go offensive quite easily, which I think is kind of cool. But I do think that there are two key cards missing, which, you know, you've already covered. So
also, I think also there's a big search that is missing in Drappers. That is Branching Fate. Branching Fate, like, it's free for them.
Yeah, it is leader dependent, but when you've already got, I guess, two leader dependent cards.
You have one reroll.
Yeah, that's true. I've actually used the reroll to miss an attack just so I can score the card.
Yeah, you can do that. I think it's 80% chance to score it every Drappers attack.
Yeah. You'd be surprised how I can make that 80% look like something completely worse.
Sometimes it blocks you. Like, I once lost a match for Contest of Equals because my opponent could not stop defending with one dice, and I just couldn't hit anything.
Wow.
Sometimes it's like that. Sometimes. It's really easy for them.
Yeah.
Probably something that gives, I don't remember the name, the ones that give you Cleveland and Snare. Primus.
Seal of Primus?
Primus, probably, yeah. That is quite, good. And the drawback is not that big of a deal.
That makes sense. I do like Swooping Shadow. That's a cool card for them.
I do. Look, I do like this deck. I think it's quite a good deck. There's some missing. I don't like that, he's kind to do something with the end phase, something quite different with the surges, and something completely different with the third end phase.
Yeah. But that might be a theme. Maybe that's the way people are thinking the best way to play is right now. Because, you know, these are first two decks we looked at, and this is the same comment you've had for both.
I do. That is something true. That is true. Probably it is. Probably you should do anything at all. But I don't know. I don't think these decks, both of them, take advantage of where the game is played right now.
Yeah.
They don't take advantage of being in one territory or forcing the game in the middle of the board.
Yeah.
Or being passive. Right now the long board configuration is really strong because you can really get some offset, score some passive, and once your opponent is there, you can take advantage of them because now you're equipped, and you need one movement to score dominant position or scant resources, something like that. So round one long board is a really interesting matchup right now. And I don't think this deck can do much about it besides charging a lot of times and doing something different. I mean, you can do probably both stuff while you go there, but I don't know. I just think classic me thinks that when your deck do one thing really good, it's better than a jack of all trades.
Yeah, I will say that I think that was the right. I would have gone that decision with the Crushes deck. I still kind of think this. I like this Creepers deck.
Those are good. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. You don't place 15 those event if you don't build a good deck.
Yeah, there are just some objective cards that I necessarily don't agree with. Maybe Sinking Feeling, Demolish the Opposition. But for the most part, this is a good deck. This is pretty similar to the way that I like to play them and piloted them in DC. And, you know, maybe I would have swapped out I don't know, Murder Pact and maybe some other card for some of the cards we mentioned.
Murder Pact is good. But yeah, I can see the point. I think it's interesting because it's not what I expect Jim to do. It's doing some other stuff.
And maybe that's the reason why, you know, this person got top eight. It's because people didn't expect, you know, Murderbot.
Probably. So. They're thinking he's going to stand back and not touching me, and instead is coming at them. So that can take him by surprise. But it's also best of three, so that is my biggest concern.
That's true. Well, so let's jump to Hrothgorn's Mantrappers, because this deck is really interesting. This deck got third place. And actually, so there was some interesting events that occurred. I think the final was supposed to be Hrothgorn versus Mad Mob, but the Hrothgorn player couldn't make the final.
Okay.
So the third place player, which was the Stalkers, ended up playing in the final against the Mad Mob, which the Mad Mob was piloted by one of our patrons, Compaq. And I think he was leading the boards throughout the event. And so it could have been that maybe Hrothgorn did win the event. We don't know. Or maybe, you know, Compaq could have beat the Hrothgorn player. But this deck is also pretty similar to what I would think you would want to play, right? You take the Tough and Hide. You take Unexpected Cunning. Armor of the Everwinter is a joke right now. And then you just kind of fill in whatever you want. I still don't get the Demolish the Opposition, but if there's one warband that can do it, probably it's Hrothgorn. Yeah. So I think Wasteland is a very popular card as well.
It's not bad.
But what do you think?
I think this deck is quite good. I don't enjoy much playing with or against Hrothgorn, so you might be like more precise than me talking about it. I think Hrothgorn right now is really, really good for two reasons. One is the game is played at the middle of the board, and that is where it's best at, because it's one big fighter. He has ranged attack, he's bulky, tough and alive, makes him unkillable. So the game is going where it wants to play it. Second is Armor of the Everwinter is unrestricted. Is restricted, but you can score it with Delve. And that means you don't need to take like the 2-3 cards for flipping objectives that you used to take. You can just straight up with accuracy, speed, aggro, whatever you want. So his deck is better at killing stuff. And his glory ceiling is not like, it hasn't taken a dent of it. Also, I think one unpopular opinion maybe, if Armor of the Everwinter is broken with Delve, it's not a problem with Delve. This card is really strong right now, and we have to deal about it. And tough luck, it's restricted. It's spending something with it. I think when a far list is coming and more stuff of this will be restricted, then you have to make a choice and maybe take it and maybe not. But I see some people arguing that Delve shouldn't count for Armor of the Everwinter, which is odd to me. Like, why should...
Yeah. That's an entirely separate conversation, but I completely agree that, like... So it says you're a warband, and some people argue that you, the player, are not part of your warband. But I completely disagree with that. I think you are part of your warband.
Yeah, you also need, like, a fighter on the top of an objective to Delve it, so...
Yeah. So it's interesting, but it is what it is, right? So
yeah, it is what it is. But
I do think this is a good deck. I think it's a great deck. Aside from Demolish Opposition, but again, it works for Hrothgorn. Tough and Hide is insane. I think one of the reasons why this deck works so well is you have that the challenge with a lot of decks that kind of make mechanics into their shtick or their gimmick is that they tend to just be the best at it, right? So you'll have a card like Successful Hunt, which is like, it's ridiculous, right? It's just auto score with Hrothgorn at one point of the game. Mm-hmm. Then you take some of these stronger cards. The restricted pool for Hrothgorn is very strong. He has a great rivals deck. And then you just add to taste, right? So you take a distraction. You take Commanding Stride, which is so good. Some accuracy, some, you know, card draw, and some defensive guards, and you're in a good mood with Hrothgorn, and I think this deck does exactly that. So, well, I don't think building a Hrothgorn deck is too difficult. I think this is probably one of the better ones I have seen.
Yeah, I quite like it. Like, if I have to, like, guess a couple of changes I would make, I will drop Demolish the Opposition for scant resources. I think you can play off of your opponent, or just do it for spent glory points, and people don't expect it from you to running it, but...
Yeah.
Just play it. People will score it for you. I also don't see... I don't remember the name. The one for stealing your opponent the glory. Daylight Robbery.
Daylight Robbery.
Daylight Robbery. Right now, Daylight Robbery is probably the best ploy in the game because your opponent score and you play it immediately and step back and combo really well with discount resources. Also, I do like Determined Effort, but I think like Not Lost could be a sneaky surprise here that could make like a lot of noise.
For those of our listeners who are not familiar with that card, you want to explain it?
Yeah, Not Lost make you roll 5 dice, create a scattered chain from your fighter, and you can build it however you want. If the chain crosses over one or more feature tokens, you can teleport your fighter over the feature token and place it there. So it's quite strong because the chain can like go over fighters, over blocked access, occupied access, whatever, and it's a teleport, not a push. So again, really strong, and it's a surprise stuff. You can like, it's a push 2 or push 3 sometimes that really caught everybody out of surprise, and you can play with cover access feature tokens to your advantage and like teleport again. I do like Commanding Stride. Double down on that. Like, you play Commanding Stride, your opponent say, okay, it's safe. Like, you need to charge right now, and you play Not Lost. That would be like a power play for me.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. I like that. It reminds me of what the card that Mike used to run with Malog.
Illusory Fighter?
Yeah. No, there was one where you scattered.
Oh, yeah. You scattered.
Same concept.
Basically, yeah. He used it to run away. That was so painful.
Yeah, he did. Sometimes, though, it would get him into a nice position where he could get the attack off. And Silent or Soundless Step is so good with Hrothgorn.
I love it. Really good.
Yeah. Really good deck. So you had mentioned that you thought the Cunning Crew, you know, is doing really well. So we have them here in eighth place. What do you think? Is this like similar to deck that you would have built?
So probably not, because as I thought to you, I'd like to buff the little guys. So bring like the sword, the dagger, like all the cool weapons and harm them. This is more like, I see like something that you can pack on the big fighters. The objective deck is quite solid. I think it's really good. I think it doesn't miss anything. I do like Center of Attention for them. I don't like the Symbiote Skull that much.
So, really?
Yeah, I don't think right now it's... I think you can make some counterplay and can be like interesting for it. I think there are like other more interesting stuff. Also, Daylight Robbery is missing here too, so...
Yeah, Daylight Robbery is so good. Jonathan gets me with that every time. Yeah, I mean, like for the most part, I feel like there's a lot of synergy, like for, you know, getting supports and assists. Like there are some cards that maybe I don't see often when I play them or when Jonathan, but that doesn't mean that, you know, maybe this person just has a different way of playing the Warband. And like Skin of Their Teeth, for example, like I think it's a good card, but like I don't usually see it in my games. It's a good card. And like Dying Curse, I feel like, I don't know, I think it's too telegraphed.
So if I have to make a praise to this deck, which is something I see a lot of new players struggle with right now, this deck has zero restricted cards. Restricted cards right now are a trap. Like people take, I don't know, Surge of Aggression because it's restricted and say, oh, yeah, must be good. Or Auto Resilience because, hey, must be good, it's restricted. Those cards weren't restricted thinking they will be like the only restricted cards. They were restricted in another meta and they stay restricted. I think this is the process they went with. So I'd rather like build a good deck and then tune to restricted cards. Back in the days when you have like a pretty chunky list of restricted cards, you go, okay, my 3 restricted will be this 3. Right now, you don't do that. So I do like that you build a deck without caring about restricted cards.
I will say most of the decks that I've been building and playing against with Jonathan and some other people is no one will ever rarely have three unless it's like a Hrothgorn or a Crutcha, which I find really refreshing. You know, piggybacking off that point, I do feel like we do need a larger far list. I do feel like far list should make you make decisions.
Absolutely.
Otherwise, you get into situations like we are in now, where either they don't make the cut or it's just easy to pick the three you want.
Absolutely. Right? I think it's a double-edged sword, this argument, because, yeah, absolutely, I agree with you. We need like a bigger list. We need to make decisions. But I also think the lack of like a proper fall list makes every warband viable, because you can pretty much guarantee a good search deck, good objectives, good power deck, and everything is playable. When you have like a proper functioning far list, this warband is not good as like that other warband to play to this play style. So it should, so you maybe have like a less diverse meta. You see less like dominant warband. Maybe you have top eight with like three of the same warband.
Right.
So I think that's the counter argument, but.
Yeah, that's true. Right. Far less generally tend to favor warbands who can make better use of the universal cards or just have strong, you know, warband cards in general. But I mean, you know, I do think that they make some of the stronger warbands when there's no far list even better. So it's an unfortunate side effect of toning down the power level of really strong warbands, but then you also tone down a couple of the mid-tier lower warbands as well, which, you know, depending on what side of the argument you're on, can be frustrating or just collateral damage, right?
Yeah, I also like when a powerful card is a restricted card and your opponent like make a smart choices including that. Like, yeah. I would love to see scant resources being restricted and people surprise your opponent with scant resources instead of assuming scant resources is in play. I would say.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, dude, I got a bunch of cards that I would love to be restricted. Scant resources is definitely one of them for sure. I mean, it's yeah, I mean, even like let's look at this Gitz deck, right? So this is the seventh place Gitz deck. It's running Infestation, you know, like, you know, we're talking about best two out of three, but like, even if you score this in one of your games, it's worth it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Five glory. It probably wins you the game if you score it, right?
In some matchups, you just like start with five glory more than your opponent.
Yeah.
Straight up.
And this deck has 26 glory. Like, it doesn't need it to score it. You can still have 21.
Yeah, this deck is greedy. Like, you don't need Infestation and Pure Carnage. You can score it both times.
But. Yeah. But this is cool. It's nice to see, you know, older warbands. I mean, goblins have always kind of jumped in and out, right? Depending on the card list at the time.
Also, another thing interesting on this deck, 13 objectives.
Yeah, is this the only one that we've seen that doesn't have, yeah.
I think it has. I also don't get why you should take more than 12.
Well, I mean, you said it's greedy, right? So maybe they just want to do a reroll in some cases.
You will do the reroll no matter what. You just like diluting down when your surges are coming up. And with kids getting good surges for us straight away, I think it's a bit important for your inspirations and going on to dodges.
That's fair. That's a good point. Completely agree that it's important with you. But, you know, at the same time, you know, all you need is a dominant position, a kill or infestation or scan resources and a kill to get the ball rolling, right?
Yeah, so. But you have to wait like the end of the round. I want to start like middle of round one with my inspired gifts.
That's fair. I do like the return of Obliterated. I'm not sure if I would have gone with it, but it's, I feel like that card's a trap sometimes. It can eat up too many activations, but it's fun.
I also think that card like is good when there are a lot of teleports in the game.
Yes.
Like where a Shadowed Step and a Hidden Path, that was the times where this card was probably interesting. I wouldn't take it right now.
Yeah. Really. Yeah. This is interesting. I like to see the decisions players like to make when building their decks. Like this, for example, this deck does have Not Lost, so that might have been nice.
Yeah, this deck doesn't have Inspired Attack.
Yeah, no inspired attack.
That is a big miss.
Berserker Rage would have been a good one, I think, too.
Berserker Rage is mandatory.
Yeah. And it's like interesting to see Searing Ink, you know, which I get why it's there, but, you know, I don't know if it would have been my, it would have made my 10. So I just like seeing people make these decisions. And I really wish I had watched some of these games to see how some of these cards ended up playing out. Because, like, obviously they did well enough to get to the top 8. So we can't be too critical on the decks, but I mean, we do have preferences at the same time.
I have preferences. Also, I have like a lot of reps with Geth, so I feel entitled.
Yeah, you
sorry.
Do. Yeah.
sorry if I feel like it. But
yeah, no. But yeah, you have.
Like, I think Surge of Aggression is a trap. Surge of Aggression is a bad search to start with.
Yeah.
Obliterated is another one. And that is like, true. Those are two surges that you're probably not going to score in round one. And you also have like 13 objectives in your deck. So it's less likely for you to draw that four good surges. So also Malicious Kill is really slow in round one. So I don't like the surge decks.
Yeah, you're not wrong. But
Inspired Attack is a miss. I'm sorry. You're not convincing me that is huge in Geth.
Well, fair enough. Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree with you. And maybe that was the difference between, you know, top 8 versus top 4. We don't know. But it's cool to see the varied warbands there. So going into the final, right? You know, mm-hmm. We have Mad Mob and Starblood Stalkers. If someone told you off the top, you know, without you knowing who was playing the decks and what the decks look like, and they're like, who do you think would win? What would you think?
So I think Compaq had the best deck, hands down, of all the tournament. And I don't think, like, the Mad Mob is that better of a warband than the Stalkers. I think Stalkers have the better warband. I think Compaq made the better deck.
Yeah. So, but to answer my question, like, if you didn't know who was playing which warband, what the decks look like, and all you heard was it was Mad Mob versus Stalkers, what would you have said?
Probably the Stalkers, because I think they have that much of a gap against the Mad Bomb. I'm not a big fan of the Mad Bomb. I'm sorry. I don't see them being that good.
Yeah. So Compaq, being a patron, has kind of been a little bit transparent as to why he's played them in our Discord. And he just says because everyone said they weren't good. So he was like, I want to show people that they are.
Kudos to him.
And I love that.
Yeah.
Because he won like an online league. And then he, you know, did really well with them in this tournament. You mentioned that you think he had the tightest, probably best deck.
Absolutely.
Out of the bunch. Why do you say that?
So he's the one that makes the better use of restricted cards, and he should take them. I do like them. The Stalker's deck also have 22 power cards, which I don't like. Even if you have like Dark Sacrifice and Duel of Wits, I'd like to keep a 20, stick it to consistency.
But well, I guess Compaq had 21.
Compaq has 21, but yeah. I know it's like, I seems like I'm talking nonsense, but I think 21 is manageable. 22, it's a bit of an edge. I don't know. It's preference. I found myself like 21, it's barely tolerable. 22, it's not. Like even with two draw, but it's my reputation. So I do like the... To be stuck with it. Also, I think Compaq's deck, like, as one thing, I like the fact that he can score all of his objectives basically round one, no matter what he draws, no matter what he has in his hand. So, kudos to him. I do like he has a plan and sticking to it. And yeah, I don't think there's bad cards. I really don't have anything to say to his decks. I like all of his cards. All of his choices.
Yeah. I will say I do like this deck quite a bit. The use of Dead Sneaky is great, given that so many popular cards have reactions. So I do like that one. Silver Lining helps as well. I've never been a big fan of that card, but I can understand why it's prevalent in competitive play. And actually, I think the weakest aspect of the Mad Mob have always been their objectives. But if you're able to overcome that, Like, they've got some really good, choice upgrades and gambits. And I think Compact did select some of the best ones with Primal Brutality, Lucky Bone, Power of the Beast, Spirit of the Beast. I've actually never seen someone play Warpaint Ward, but I guess if you roll a crit, you just ignore.
Yeah, basically it's attack. A 3+, it's a 4+, and if you're lucky, you don't die because you reduce damage to 1 or you just don't get it.
Yeah, which makes sense given the fact that, you know, when you lose one fighter and it's not Dako, it can feel like your warband is struggling.
Absolutely. So. What else? Oh, 11 upgrades and silver lining. That's a plus.
Yeah.
You have more upgrades than ploy.
Yeah.
It's easier for you to score it, and you don't want upgrades are the best like cards right now in the game.
Yeah.
So I do love that.
Yeah. I mean, I really do agree with you. This is a very tight, strong deck. And I think the cool thing about Warhammer Underworlds is that, like, you can have like two really good decks that kind of do the similar thing, but then there might be one or two cards that are different, and that just comes down to player preference, right? And so, you know, Compact is probably the person that has the most reps with this warband that I know, and it's cool to see the choices he made, because like Warpaint Ward makes me think like he had an issue with survivability, and then this helps, right? Maybe early game survivability, or maybe late game big moments. But then, like, even Desperate Caution, right? Like, put a fighter on guard.
I think another interesting one is Silent Hell.
Really? I think it's just really good card.
So Silent Hell is really good. Don't get me wrong. It's a really good card. But you don't usually take it with when you have, like, such low defense warband or stuff like that. I think it's there because Silent Ring is there. So you get the +1 dice for it.
I also think like Headcracker and Tooth Dagger, you know, being on 2 dodges is pretty useful when they inspire.
Yeah, you need to inspire them, so it's not like from the get-go.
True. But same with Dreppers, right? And that card is crazy on him.
I mean, inspiring Dreppers, is that an issue?
Well, that's fair. But I mean, like, in a way, like, you know, this warband is very killy. And the deck kind of helps with that. And as long as they get kills, they inspire, right? And there are cards in the deck that help put them on guard, like Desperate Caution.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the only one. But I do agree that a lot of people like going for the silent package. We've seen that a lot in these decks.
Yeah.
And that could be a reason as to why. You know, the card draw plus the defensive benefits. But then you have some staples like Augmented Limbs, which are just gross. Such a great card.
Yeah. Also, Mighty's Wing is kind of a staples right now. Pretty much all the decks. Like, I run it in Stalkers too.
Yeah. I mean, it's just so good when you can line it up and hit 2 birds with 1 stone, right?
Yeah.
So.
Or it, like, I don't know, 4 skeletons with 1 clack truck.
I've never pulled it off actually on more than 2 fighters in Harrow Deep, but I think it's still worth it for, you know, just being able to potentially kill 2 fighters.
So my best moment in Underworld was a Berserker Rage, Midas Wing on the, not the skeletons, the other ones, I don't know names. Help me out.
Which one are you thinking about?
Mortex.
Oh, the Bone Reapers.
The Bone Reapers, sorry. They were like all crawling up, like with a big niche. I pulled out the Midas Wing and killed 5 guys.
With who?
With Claptrock.
Oh, love that. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Did Claptrock have anything special on him?
Berserker Rage.
Oh, Berserker Rage. Yeah, that'll do it.
And it was like, okay, Berserker Rage is fine. Might just wing. Oh, what is that? Oh, that is a problem when I saw the spot on the board.
Yeah. That's awesome.
I think it rarely happens. Like, sometimes you missed like a couple of those. But when you do, it feels so good. And Mind is Wink right now, I think it's a staple, and it's a really good card because it can balance out the odds. A lot of people are playing for support, so they're gathering people like towards itself. Game is on the center of the board, so again, tighter spaces. So Mind is Wink, should consider all the times.
Yeah. Yeah. I haven't. The only time I got a 3 miniature kill with Mighty Swing was in Shadespire. I like in the early days of the game, I really tried to make Reavers work. And I killed the three Steelhearts with a Mighty Swing.
Oh.
Because he had great strength on
him. Yeah, that is the best.
But that was the only time in my opponent ever let me get that again.
Blooded sake,
man. Yeah, he's the man. He's the man with the plan. Cool. So we've looked at this Headcrackers deck. Nothing but good things to say. Interesting choices on maybe one or two cards, but overall, like, I think I do agree with you. This is probably one of the tightest decks I've seen thus far in the event. And when you compare that or combine that with Compaq, who's, you know, a really, really good player.
Yeah, absolutely.
You start to see like some of the reasons as to why he's made it so far, especially because he's played this warband so much.
I think he won like a couple of leagues too with this deck.
I think he won an online league, yeah, with the Mad Mob. And I'm pretty sure he won the last event with Profiteers.
Oh, probably he was playing Profiteers, yeah.
He was playing Profiteers, and he won the last online tournament.
I mean, big shout out to him. And also,
yeah,
something I want to stress out, doesn't mean if you don't win like a clash or something, doesn't mean you're not a good player. You can lose a final or more than one in your case.
Or more than one, yeah.
And still be like one of the best players out there. I think Compaq is right there.
Yeah, I think Compaq in recent, in Harrowdeep and in Direchasm has really demonstrated his ability to play this game very well.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so definitely someone that you should reach out to if you have questions around the game. His name is Compaq on Discord, so... and he's been a great help in our patron. Just want to give him a quick shout out in our Patreon Discord. Like we have a deck building channel. People throw ideas and it's hard for Jonathan and I to get everything, but Compaq is always in there giving advice. And every time I read it, I'm like, yeah, this is great. So shout out to him for being a good community member as well. But let's jump to Starlet Stalker's deck, the winning deck. So they were able to beat Compaq 2-0. Compaq did mention that he misplayed in one of those games, which he says if he hadn't made that mistake, he thinks he would have gone to a game 3. So, you know, closer than maybe the score, you know, predicts, which is like Underworld's a lot, right? Like sometimes you'll like see games like 7 glory difference, but the game was actually really tight until one pivotal moment. So,
and sometimes like you won a game by 2, but like you never end up winning a game.
Yeah, that's true too. So, earlier in the game, in this episode, we talked about how, you know, some of your surges that you like with this warband and, like more than half of them are there. So let's talk about this and see, you know, since you've been playing the warband a lot, I'd love to get your take on what you think about this deck and, you know, is it as tight as we think it might be?
So, if I have to go to like some sort of scoring methods, surges are 10 out of 10. Like, I don't have anything bad to say of the surges. The only regret I could have with the surges is Reckless Swing. It's some really, really free on round 1 and round 2 can be a dead surge on round 3 when there are, like, less fighters surviving, so it's harder to pull off. End phase, I'm sorry, where is the great plan?
Yeah. That one kind of surprised me as well. The first time I looked at this deck, I was like, where is the great plan?
Yeah, I think the great plan should be there. I'm sorry, I don't think Lion Wait requires like a lot more works to pull it off,
yeah,
rather than the great plan. I don't run Balance of the Cosmic Equation, but I think it's manageable. So yeah, don't have much to say. I do have like more problems with the power decks. Like, as I told you, I don't really like 22. I think he can cut down for sure the net, the Soul-Tooth net. I think can be handy in some matchups, but I don't think it has a place in this deck. I think Berserker Rage should be there. I think that card is so good. It's insane it's not there. I don't like Proud Runner. I think it's a trap. I know you want to score everything to prove and something like that, but plus one speed doesn't get you that much in this war event. So I would like to see something else. Yeah, Simbad's Call already talked about it. Confusion is a nice card. I think Mighty Swing is a big miss here.
Yeah. Yeah, looking at the deck myself, I completely agree in that, like, so I like Burst from the Shadows. I think it's a great card.
Absolutely.
Watchy's Device, great card. Beast Trail, I really like with this warband. Some people don't take it, but I think it works really well.
It also combined really well with Astromatics, because sometimes you need to, like, a way out flip those objectives.
That's very true. And then Heated Instinct, great. Hour on Death, great. Symbiote's Call, I agree. It's niche, but it seemed to be a popular card in this top eight. So, you know, maybe the meta is shifting in a direction maybe we didn't anticipate. Confusion, I really like it. Confusion is one of those interesting cards where, like, in a lot of situations, it's not good, but then it'll win you a game.
It does.
And for that alone, I think it's just so, so cool. I like to see it more. I prefer that card a lot, actually. Because in some cases, you can just walk up to a person, you don't have to fight them, and just swap, you know, do your thing. Duel of Wits, Sidestep. Dark Sacrifice is an interesting card.
I take Dark Sacrifice all the times. I think it's really good.
Yeah.
I just haven't. More than Omega Offerings, for example.
Yeah. But I do think that, like, I would have dropped Omega's Offering and then maybe swapped Symbiote's Call with Mighty Swing. I've never played with Dark Sacrifice, so maybe that's just my lack of experience with this card, but I'm not too sure.
It's also a reaction, so I think it's...
Oh, there you go. Yeah, that's a good point. And then I do like the upgrade deck, honestly. I do agree that the net is something that maybe isn't entirely necessary, but Silver Linings in the deck, so I get why you want to go maybe 11 on the upgrades.
You know, you have two draw ploys and Omega's Rings, so you're going to draw cards no matter what, and if you use ploys to draw cards, it's easier to get, like, more upgrades in your end. So I don't think it's needed to go overboard with those.
Yeah. You know, it's really interesting. This person who's playing this deck, they have, like, the Quarry tech. And it's interesting that they were able to fit it all with the ring and the helm.
I do use the ring, the helm, and the sword myself. So
yeah.
I think that is a good call.
Even throwing in Impressive Bulk in there.
Impressive Bulk is weird. And there's not Scavenge Armor.
Yeah.
Scavenge Armor is really good, especially if you're running Beast Trail. You're going to teleport right there. So, and you're
so good. Beast Trail. Yeah, but, you know, at the same time, like, this person clearly had a plan, like, jump on objectives, kind of hold it, and maybe Claktrak and a couple people do some work, so.
I don't want to throw, like, slacks where are not too. This is good, as a good deck. Like, we're nitpicking. It's a good deck,
yeah. We are nitpicking. But, yeah, like, if someone wants to play a good Stalkers deck, like, I don't think either of us would have an issue with saying, go play this deck.
No, give it a go.
And then tweak it as you like it. You know, I think one thing that I've noticed while looking at these top eight decks is the players who played in these event have different styles or preferences. And a lot of the times in previous events, you'll see where like a very clear cut, like, oh yeah, I see why they took this card. And in this situation, I still think we are able to identify why they took a card. But I think maybe in this case, you know, I think Nick said the best word, nitpicking, because maybe Nick and I agree more than maybe Compaq Nick and I would agree, right?
So yeah, problem.
It's just the way that this is the best. What's one of the best parts of the game? You can have two decks that do the same thing, but they might have a couple different niche choices.
Yeah, I also think it's interesting because it's not a game where you net deck and you go to an event. Like, if you don't play your deck, you do, like, use what sticks to you. You're not going to win it. So.
Like, you know, that's an interesting point because, like, you in other games like Hearthstone and Magic and Yu-Gi-Oh, Pokemon, whatever, like, you can net deck.
Absolutely.
But you, it's so hard to net deck in this game. And I think that's actually one of the issues why people have trouble with playing the game is because, like, some people don't want to deck build. Like when I play Hearthstone, like, I don't deck build. I just net deck and play because, like, I just playing it for fun. I like deck building in Underworlds. But like if there was no net decking in Hearthstone, I'm not sure if I would play it as much just because like I just like to plug and play. Maybe it's because I'm a mobile player, but like I just hit Legend and then don't play until, you know, the next month just because like that's what brings me joy, I suppose. So
yeah. Also, I think one thing I noticed when new players are arriving in the game and ask for helps on their decks and deck building, I have a strong opinion on a lot of cards, especially when they're at the beginning of the game. I just want to tell them this is not a good card because this is a good card because. And once they're like above average, I stop giving them suggestions because, hey, I can tell you something that's wrong for you because at this point, you know what's good for you and what's not. So we are nitpicking this. We are making suggestions on someone that might not need suggestions from us.
Agreed. Yeah. And this is, that's a really good point. I'm really glad you phrased it that way. The people in the top eight probably don't need any help building a deck. And we can maybe even shorten that to like, we're just here to talk about it and insert our opinions, but it doesn't necessarily mean we are right or wrong because in a lot of ways, like I actually had someone convince me that they didn't like, what's the axe that we used to play in Ripa's?
The what?
The axe, where like you take 2 damage and then you do 4 damage.
Bloodied axe.
Yeah, I literally tried to convince like a new player in my community that like you're sleeping on bloody axe, and they just like played a couple games and they're like, I hate this card, and I was like, okay, you know, like I understand, and if it doesn't fit for your playstyle, then I get it, and you're not wrong because it didn't work for you, you know, like. I thought it was crazy, but they won more games without it in their deck.
Yeah, I think Davey just killed himself hitting that blood axe. It's not good with the Ripa.
Did he say that?
Davey.
Davey said that?
No. Davey's just a big fan of blooded axe.
Oh, yeah.
It's a staple for him.
Yeah, I think it's one of the first cards I put in the deck, like alongside a distraction and stuff like that, you know?
So. The old reliable blooded axe.
Yeah, it's a good card. So, well, yeah, well, congratulations to everyone in the top 8. I think it was cool to kind of like look through your decks and talk about it. We didn't cover the Harrow's deck, but I mean, they've been there, done that. So,
yeah, it's interesting that Harrow's keeps doing the same stuff over and over and over again, no matter the meta, no matter what happens to the rules, doesn't matter.
Yeah. They just got a really good kit and, they have one good plan and they're really good at it. So kudos to the Harrow's player. We just, as Nick mentioned, been there. They've just done it the same time over and over again. So no point in digesting it too much. So really cool overall, like to see 8 different warbands. Again, smaller event, but, you know, I still think that's awesome. Congratulations to all the players for making the top 8 and then to, the Stalkers for winning the event overall.
I also want to point out something that may be worth mentioning, maybe not, but Jimmy was the tournament organizer for the event, and he like said it was becoming difficult to find players for this kind of events. I do think we are at a point with a meta where there's a bit of a slot. Like, we played this meta for at least 3 months now. And I think everybody's expecting a far list or like an errata or an FAQ to add the inspiration steps. They might not coming, but I think they will. But whatever. I think people are just waiting for them.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's interesting. Shout out to Jimmy for running the event. I think what he is probably saying makes a lot of sense. But I also think that, we're still in COVID era, right?
Yeah.
Like half of Beastgrave was COVID, or maybe all of it, I think.
COVID started
with Hrothgorn. So most of Beastgrave, all of Dire Chasm, and the first half of Harrowdeep have just been COVID. And yes, I do agree that like people aren't playing tabletop games much in general, given the fact that a lot of people don't want to leave their home, or, you know, maybe are getting COVID or getting sick. So it's a combination of COVID. It's a combination of like a lot of rules changes with Harrowdeep, which people leave the game and people join the game. But like, it's hard to like get people to join the game when no one's really playing it locally. That being said, you know, I do have friends who work at Games Workshop, and they have mentioned that Harrowdeep is outperforming every season that's ever come before it. It's crazy to think about when the only thing that they've released is a box set.
Yeah. And people on the web had a strong opinion about the price of the box set.
Yeah. Like people complaining about Harrowdeep, the price. Oh, another Stormcast Warband, another Orc Warband, which is funny because like for 2 years we were like wishing we had another Orc Warband, and then we got three in a year. But the thing is like,
and I still see Valentine complaining because the one Orc Warband he wanted is still not good enough.
Yeah, that's funny. Shout out to Val. He's been painting a lot lately. If you're in our Patreon Discord, he's on a roll. His work is really good. Long story short, like Harrowdeep is doing well, and I think the next releases and seasons are going to continue. So I don't think the game is going anywhere, like at all. So it really just comes down to, are you able to build your community and play the game? And whether that's online or in person, I think when COVID slowly starts to go away, I think like we thought it was going away, and then Omicron kind of took a lot of people out.
Yep.
You know, like everyone I know is sick right now, whether it's the cold, the flu, or COVID. Even I sound a little raspy. I'm coming over a cold. And it's just the way that the world is working right now, unfortunately. But in a year, like, do I think... So, like, I'm going to LVO, right? Mm-hmm. I expect there to be, like, 20 to 30 people there playing Underworlds. I'm going to Adepticon. There's going to be, like, 60, 70, 80 people playing Underworlds. And so it just has to come down to, are you willing to travel? And like, and like, you know, places like Europe, it's easier to get games in. Like, I think it's so much harder in America because we're so vast. Like, I can't, I know like 100 people who play this game, but I only see them twice a year. Right.
Yeah.
Whereas like maybe in Florence, maybe there's more population density, right? Or in Rome or in London, especially, or even like in New York where like Max and Gerard play. Or everything's a little bit closer. Whereas like here, like I mentioned, it takes 2 hours to get to the other side of town.
Yeah.
You know?
Also, I don't know if you already shut it out about, but Nick Baton from the Bookman's Glow made a Rivals tournament on a Friday night with 30 players playing.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's Rivals. Awesome. Like,
I was so mad because like I was literally at Bookman's and I'm like, Nick, like, I leave before your event. He's like, "God damn. Oh, well." And it was really funny because like we were supposed to get a game in and we couldn't during lunch, his lunch break. But he loves Underworlds. The thing is like there are people at Games Workshop who aren't on the Underworlds team, like Phil Kelly and Nick Baton, who absolutely adore this game. And they're playing this game. And they play in these Bugman events and like it's cool. It's awesome. It's just, I also think it's easier to travel in the UK because they have an amazing train system. But I think so.
I don't know. Mike always talk me against it, but I don't know.
Well, Mike also lives like in the north.
Yeah.
The trains are a little slow. I went up there. I was there. I went out with Mike one night. We got absolutely drunk.
Yeah, that's Mike.
Yeah, yeah. Mike was like, "Look, I know you're American, but I need you to drink more." And I was like, "Okay." And I thought I was doing a good job, but no. Mike was like, "I'm drinking slow for you." I was like, "Jesus." But we had a great time. It's cool because I briefly met Mike very briefly, and like at a Warhammer Fest, in 2019, but like we didn't really know each other too well, but we said hello, whatever. And then over COVID, like we became good friends over Discord. So it's like the first time I hung out with this guy, and I just was like, I'm going to Sheffield for a night. And my parents are like, why are you going to Sheffield? I was like, oh, I'm meeting my friend Mike. And they're like, oh, you know, I didn't know you have a friend who moved to England. I was like, oh no, I've actually like not, I don't really know him that well, but we just talk about a game online. And they're like, okay, just be smart. And then, you know, whatever. And then we just went, and it was just all love, man. Like gave him a big hug, and we just started drinking for like 4 hours.
Yeah.
It was cool.
You know, so, community of the game is still here, and it's still like the best community I've found for a tabletop game or a game, whatever. So we're just waiting for like, I think the monkey to go back and like bring everyone in again. And maybe I've heard this.
Speaking of monkeys, the new miniature coming out.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But even like this conversation, right? Like Nick, I feel like we're good friends. Like I've never met you. Like,
no, we never met
you. I talk to you a lot.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm sure like when we see each other, we'll just, it'll be like natural. And that's what's so cool about, I think in a way COVID has brought people further apart together.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you know, we like to play a tabletop miniatures game. So.
Yeah. And we never sat down at the same table.
I don't think we've ever been in the same room.
No, probably not.
No, every class you went to in England, I wasn't there. So
I went only on one. So,
well, there you go. But you know, it's cool. So I think you're right that there was a slump in the game, but I mean, sales wise, I don't think there is. And then, you know, I see a lot of people joining the hobby, and like I go to my local GW, and they don't have any Harrow Deep, and I'm like, you guys not carrying the game? He's like, nah, just every time we get like, we had initial batch of 10 copies, it all sold. And then we'll get like one or two like replacement copies just to make sure it's on the shelf, and they'll sell every week. So people are buying this stuff. I don't know where they are, but if you're in Houston, come find me, please. Because I'm trying to help build the community. But cool. Again, congrats to everyone who played in that event. Let's just jump to some patron questions here.
Sure.
So let's see. What do you do when you play an aggro warband into Hrothgorn? Do you try to kill him or just ignore him? What do you think, Nick? This is from Val.
Okay, interesting. I think a good strategy for Hrothgorn is splitting your warband and make him choose one side of the board to be at. Like, unless he has a really good deck and really good hand in his hand, you have to choose, like, I'm going to attack left or attack right. And once you split the warbands, he has to like commit to one side with Hrothgorn, and you can like kill the rest, or maybe at the point you have glory and upgrades to try to take him down. I don't plan around taking him down straight away, unless like I'm praying the gods for none. In that case, it's on.
Absolutely. Yeah. I try to avoid. So this is my strategy. I either try to kill him in the first round, given like based on what my opponent's doing. Like if they have a good hand, they'll like get aggressive, start doing crazy stuff. If they don't, then I maybe try to, and if I have a good hand, then I'll try to, that is conducive to killing Hrothgorn, I'll try to do it. Otherwise, I'll do the same thing that Nick said, yeah. Because it's the whole Molog strategy, right? Make Molog go one way, and then hopefully you can wipe his warband by the time he comes back, and then you can duke it out, you know, 2-on-1.
Yeah.
And you're both, at that point, one-shotting each other, so. Well, maybe not Hrothgorn, but with massive bulk, but I don't know if anyone's really taking that right now. But yeah, good question, Val. Are you guys going to Adepticon? I am. I know Jonathan is.
I'm not. I'm not sure I can go to the US right now.
I think you can.
I'm not sure. I was in the forbidden country list.
I think, well, we were on your forbidden country list too. So
yeah.
let's not point fingers, but I know, I think you're good. I think you're good. Like okay. If people can come over from England, you can come. So I don't know if it's in the plans, but I think you should stop by because I think most of the American scene will be there, which is cool, including Gerard and Jimmy and Tom, or not Tommy,
Jason.
Jason will be there. The Dean and what's their last name? And Duncan? The Bills Bros. And then Victor lives like in Chicago, so he'll be there too. So, have you had a go at Bladeborn? I've played Bladeborn. I don't own it though. Have you played Bladeborne?
I did not, because I already have like Godsworn and the Ravagers.
Yeah. So, I enjoyed it. It's cool. It's fun. Have you tried the Warlords format for Underworlds yet? Warlords is in parentheses.
Yeah, I did one. Wasn't that interesting to me.
Yeah.
I think there are,
I haven't played it.
I think there are better alternative modes.
I do think there are better game modes. I actually like the one where you can like custom make a warband.
That was it.
Is that Warlords?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, yeah, then I like it. I thought Warlords is something else.
I think Warlords is that. Maybe I'm missing something, but I is think it's that.
Well, if that's it, then yeah, I like Warlords. I think it's fun. If it's not Warlords, then no, I don't know.
I think the Warlords? Glass map.
Did I just Google that?
If I have to go with like an alternative mode, I think the Matte Glass Gargant is really good.
What is the Warlords format? I feel like I should know this.
Probably was Grand Avatars, the ones that we're talking about.
We're talking about Grand Avatars. Yes, that's the right one. I don't know what Warlords is.
So we didn't play Warlords.
Interesting. Okay, well, while Nick is looking that up, next question from Val. Have you already ordered the iced out bling bling shade glass trophy, which you give away for the winner of the next from your Frosty brother? Ha, that's funny. No. It'll be regular shade glass.
Oh, I know what Warlord is. It's the event that is going to happen at January 22 at Warhammer Worlds.
Oh, so I haven't tried that format, but I think it's really, really fun. And I have built some decks for it just to get some ideas for it. And I think it's going to be great. I think it is a great format. And I think it's really conducive to the nature of the Rivals mechanic.
I think the format is good. I think the scoring system is bad. Straight up bad. Like, you can win Oriole games 2-1, and another person that lost your first game 2-1 and won the three games 2-0 can go ahead of you and win the tournament. And you beat this guy. Also, something that rewards painting or new stuff. I don't like the scoring system. I do like the format.
Yeah, so the scoring system, if that's the case, which I have not looked at, then yeah, I agree. I like the format of the deck building. I'm going to clarify that. I think that's cool.
Yeah, I agree. I never tried it before.
So we have some more questions here. Shmoovness, when is a FAQ coming? When is the FAR coming? Dude, I wish I could tell you.
Not soon enough, apparently.
Yeah, not soon enough. Number 9, what needs to get hit? This is a good question.
Interesting.
A lot of good cards need to be hit. I think we've mentioned a couple over the course of the episode. Nick, do you have any that you'd like to mention
just off the top? Everything to Prove, Daylight Robbery should have already been there. I don't know why it left. Yeah. Scant Resources, absolutely. I think Berserker
Augmented Rage. Limbs.
Augmented Limbs, yeah. It's not already resuit? Oh, yeah, it's not. Yeah, that is the one. I do think that Berserker Rage could be hit. I don't know. I know we have different opinions about it, but
yeah, I don't think it needs to be hit. I feel like it's like, look, it wasn't even used that much in the top 8. So,
I want Contest of Equals gone. I'm sorry.
I do think it needs to be restricted. I actually think there are some like older cards that should be hit. Like I think Duel of Wits should be restricted.
That is interesting.
I think Partial Resurrection is dumb. Needs to be restricted.
Yeah, probably. Partial Resurrection is a good candidate.
Probably Punching Up, Scavenged Armor.
Oh, Punching Up, yes. Yeah, absolutely. Scavenged Armor is interesting. It's a bit evasive, but I can see the point.
Yeah. And then maybe Astro Matrix Alignment.
Oh, yeah. Right. Absolutely. I also want like Claim the City and Infestation to be restricted.
That's a good point. And then like I think creepers could use a toning down, just because they have like good cards. So maybe like hit Pall of Fear.
Pall of Fear is still unrestricted.
Still unrestricted, yeah.
Yeah.
Pall of Fear, maybe like a damage card as well. And then honestly, I hate Skaven, so get rid of Black Anger.
Black Anger is only problematic with combo.
But yeah. That's true. I also think they could take off some stuff. Like maybe Geomancer's Gauntlet doesn't need to be there.
Yeah, it doesn't need.
Honestly, I don't even think Harness the Storm needs to be on the list anymore.
Poor dudes. They don't even have any more spells, really.
Cursebreakers are struggling.
Yeah.
So that answers your question. Number 10, which Warband has absolutely no game?
I think the Khagar Ravagers.
I really want them to have game, but yeah, I think
so. I saw in another Discord that we are about that a guy won a Rivals tournament with the Ravagers.
I did see that, yeah.
And I just asked why. And I want I don't want to be like aggressive or rude or mean. Like, I'm really interested how.
Yeah, yeah, that's funny.
And the answer I got, I agree. Is they can easily desecrate like an entire warband because you can like push your two fighters on top of the objectives, and then at the end of the round you score the surge. But it's an end phase round. It's an end phase objective at that point.
I mean, if you really want to make something work in this game, I think you can eventually do it, given the right circumstances.
How can you desecrate something when there's nothing to desecrate?
I don't know. It's wild. I think maybe they just killed everybody. I mean, they're got good stats.
But they're also, I don't know. If someone is able to pull it off, please tell me.
I think it's something worth being celebrated. I never thought I'd ever hear Ravagers won anything, so absolutely, I love that. But
I want to know. I want the power.
Yeah, that's funny. I do think Iron Skulls boys have no game. I think Chosen Axes have no game.
Yeah.
I think Ilthari's Guardians have no game. I think Iron Souls Condemners have no game. I think Blade Coven have no game.
Chosen Axes had like that amazing card that was Treasure's Last. Yep, not working anymore.
Nope. Eyes of the Nine, I think, have no game at the moment. Could change.
Eyes of the Nine, yeah. Eyes of the Nine.
I think Wurmspad have no game.
It's the start of a season. So end of the season, I expect Wurmspad to work somehow in some way, yeah. I don't understand. And their games end like 9-6.
I do think that the Truth Seekers are struggling. But I think they have game. I think they're struggling.
I think Truth Seekers have game, absolutely.
Yeah.
They're not that good.
I think the Farstriders kind of have game. I even think you could do...
Farstriders are not going to inspire, sorry.
Well, maybe post-changes they might. If those changes come, not they could probably have some game. I do think Steelheart Champions aren't bad. Like, you can actually have some fun with them. Because two people hit for 3 damage off the bat. But it's hard building an objective deck with them.
Storm of Celestis. I'm sorry. No.
Oh, yeah. Jonathan's not going to like that. But yeah, you're right. You know, I don't know. They're just like Magors. But I don't know. I don't know. But yeah, there's a lot of warbands with game, though. I mean, if you want to win something, play Death or Destruction.
Basically.
You're in a great spot if you do one of those. Let's see. How to get... Valcom has how to get crits in the important dice rolls. I want a full seminar about wrist movements.
You don't. That's how.
Yeah, that's probably it. What I like to do when I roll my dice is I like to kind of just do like a fling motion. So I'll like fling it, but and I'll kind of have like they'll have an arc where they'll arc into the box, and I roll into it. You know what? Dice boxes. That's important. Dice boxes are great because you don't get cocked dice, because whenever you roll a crit, it's probably cocked.
B gator of dice boxes here.
You hate dice boxes?
I do. If one of my dice is cocked and you want to let me roll, there's always the universal rule. You put a dice on top of it. If it's fall down, it's cocked. Otherwise, it's not.
But you just have to avoid that. I've actually seen people argue over that dice is actually not on there. So anyways, so
I have a story about this, because in a tournament, a guy was like, hey, I have this dice box. If you're fine with it, we should roll the dice inside of it. And we say everything outside of it doesn't count and everything inside of it does count. And we'll say, okay, if it makes you happy, doesn't matter. Then we proceed to set up, we place the warbands, and like I don't like ever roll in dice boxes. So I started into rolling outside, and like at the first attack, big important attack I hit, it's like, yeah, but you didn't roll in the box. I was like, you know, you're right, but I also hate you.
That's fair. I mean, to be fair, you did agree. He may have got you there, but I like dice boxes. I don't go to any clash without one, and I don't let people roll in my dice box.
See,
it's my dice box. You can roll wherever the hell you want, but not in my dice.
Don't touch my box.
Don't touch my box or my dice. I hate when people like come and grab your dice. It's like the old Warhammer player in me. It's like, don't touch my dice, bro. What's wrong with you?
My dice always go like everywhere, so we need to like redistribute at the end of the game. I don't mind.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah.
I think one thing you could do to make absolutely sure that your opponent will land his crits in important games is like get obsessed if they do like something with the dice before. Like I have a friend of mine that blows on his dice.
Oh yeah.
And when it does, it's a crit. So if you get anxious about something, it will happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
So don't get anxious. Make them do their voodoo tricks to roll the dice. And
sometimes, dude, I've just seen people just roll crits like every roll, and then the next game they roll no crits. So it's whatever the crit god, which I'm convinced is the laughing god, wants you to do.
That's how the game. Also, I had like the most insane game in my life. Like I swear, I probably have rolled 30 dice. And 26 were crits, and wow. Was a brand new player at his first game in his first tournament.
Mm.
And I was so sorry.
To be fair, though, you taught him a lesson.
I couldn't help myself but say how sorry I was. I was miserable.
I hate playing the games where your opponent just starts apologizing for their dice rolls.
Man, it was so stupid.
But I've done it myself, too. I'm like, dude, I'm so sorry. I've rolled 6 crits in a row. My bad, dude.
I'm so sorry. Like, even when he managed to, like, do a 4 Emmers attack against one of my trapped guys, I was like, he's getting his glory, finally.
You rolled a crit.
No, I rolled a crit.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you know, the dice gods giveth and the dice gods taketh.
Yeah.
So, well, good. I think that's a pretty good summary of the event. It's great to catch up with you, Nick. Any closing thoughts on Warhammer Underworlds in general or some of the stuff we talked about today?
I think the game is still really good. I think the new rules are a welcome addition. I think it keeps the game fresh. I do love them.
Absolutely.
I do love the mulligan. I do love the alternating boards in best of three. I think those were needed. And I think when Afar will come and when the FAQ will come, this game will be better than ever.
Awesome. So Nick, if someone wants to reach out to you, talk to you about Warhammer Underworlds, or maybe get some advice on the game, how can they reach you?
I'm Nick Ramon on Discord, and basically I'm on the Underworlds Discord.
Cool. So look up Nick Ramon, and you're good to go. I actually thought that was your last name for a long time. Cool. All right, everyone. Well, I think that's it for our episode. Hope you enjoyed it. If you'd like to join our current patrons, you can do so at patreon.com/pathtoglory. You can also find a lot of our blog content on pathtoglorypodcast.com, though it hasn't been updated very much recently. It's just so much easier to record video and audio content. If you have any feedback, questions, or comments, let us know on Facebook, Twitter, or Discord at Path to Glory Podcast. And you know, if you'd like, please rate and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you listen. It really helps spread the podcast around. If you are a patron, stick around for an end phase episode where I'll be talking about a deck I'm working on, and you know, it'll be fun to discuss the warband and the deck itself. And as always, thanks for listening, and we wish you the best of luck on your path to glory.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Yes, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, and Happy New Year.